Hello, and welcome to Fireborn Inspirations Fireside Chats, hosted by the Reverend Jane Babbage, where we share valuable information, revelation, inspiration, and educational words of wisdom designed to help you get a greater understanding of today's challenges and opportunities so that you can choose to embrace the realities of tomorrow and press through the fires of life with purpose. Now here's your host, the Reverend Jane Babbage.
Of Fireside Chat presented by Fireborn Inspirations, and I am your host, Reverend Jane Babbage. Thank you so much for stopping by today, and we are going to have with us today Dr. Audrey Akins as our guest. Thank you, Doctor, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I so enjoy when Dr. Akins comes and speaks with us because there is so much about the revelatory that we need to understand to be able to grasp and apply to our life what we hear and what God wants us to learn. So today we're going to talk about something that before knowing Dr. Akins, I never heard of, and that was a revelatory expository. And it is kind of, I'm going to put this in my lingo, it is a vault or a vast collection of definitions of words that help us to be able to understand the scripture better. So what we're going to do today is cover a couple foundational principles that she's going to expound on so that when you read the expository, you'll be able to understand how she writes and why she writes it the way she writes it, because that's what God gives her to write. So what are you going to share with us today?
I'm going to share about what the meaning of a revelatory expository is. I'm going to break that down for you because I do understand that a lot of people are not necessarily exposed to the revelatory. And I do a thing called mini revelatory expositories. And so I put together an intro in them that helps people understand exactly what you just said. So I'm going to cover the revelatory expository definition, and I'm going to talk about exegesis and eisegesis, and I'm also going to talk about apostle phrasing, which is something that I do a lot in my studies to explain what that is for the layperson.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I don't know about you listeners, but I love to read. And when I read many times, I don't read the intros to a book. If I know the author or I think I know the subject, I don't read the intro. I go right into reading the meat of the book. But what I've found as I've gotten more mature is that reading the intro, understanding the heart of the author, helps me to be able to receive and to be able to bring into my personal life the concepts they're trying to explain. So I'm so glad we're doing this recording today, because as you begin to delve into the writings of Dr. Akins, not just the expositories, but the writings in general, because you are a revelatory teacher, it's going to help us to be able to understand. So for those of you that are like the younger version of me, try to fight that urge not to read the introduction, because it's going to help you. But we're going to give you a cheat sheet today, and we're going to give you some of that information in this fireside chat. So why don't you start with revelatory expository? Explain that to us.
Okay. Well, simply put, the revelatory is a spiritual revealing. It's the Lord making something known by presenting truth, but usually in surprising or not considered before ways we never considered before. It makes you think, because it comes and it breaks open, it explains. It's an uncovering. It's a making clear or manifest those things that God says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and hasn't been fully imagined by men. So they are what I define as transcendent truths. These are the truths that the Holy Spirit is assigned to reveal to us. It's like peeling back an onion. It's revealing truth in layers as we are able to understand. He doesn't take and dump hard truths that'll make you choke on you right away, but he takes you in increments. And that's what the revelatory does. It brings to you that which you never considered before, but you know it's God's truth because it's always going to be on that foundation of Scripture. If it's supposed to be revelatory, it's not something new. There's nothing new under the sun. It's in the Word somewhere. And that's why I try to bring that together for you as these revelatory concepts. Also, the revelatory releases what we deem as revelatory, but it really is God's revealing how He works all things together. You know, He's always busily moving and working in ways that are far beyond our understanding. So it's like His gathering in, it's His bringing in, and He does it on a need-to-know basis. When we are ready to know, and we seek, you know, we knock and ask, the Holy Spirit loves to reveal. As far as concept, the expository, rather, it's a formal, intentionally extensive presentation. So it would be like we would take the word expository, for instance, but instead of just defining it as you would find it in the dictionary, the expository brings in other elements to give you the understanding. So it's an extensive presentation of whatever it is your concept is. And it's what's put together, it's expository because it's put together for public consumption. So it's not just my notes, but it's my notes prepared to give you understanding. It comes out of my notes, and my notes come from a researching and a revealing by the Holy Spirit, which I then prepare as an expository to present understanding.
It's interesting you say that, because I think it's important that the listener today realizes that when you read the expository, and you're reading the definition of a word mm-hmm. that the Holy Spirit has given you by the Spirit and mixed with the Scripture, mm-hmm. that same word can be defined multiple ways mm-hmm. depending on where the Lord is using it.
Right.
And when I first got exposed to the revelatory and the defining that you did, I found it so interesting that 2 weeks ago you may have taught on a subject and you defined a word for that study, mm-hmm. and it was powerful and it was impacting. And then a little while later, you're doing a different subject, and you're defining the word as God uses it in that scripture. Right. But what it made me really realize is what a personal God He yes. is, and that the revelatory enables it to be personal for us
right.
in that defining, in that expository. So I want you as the listener to understand that getting a expository is not really going to give you all that you need to know about that word. It's going to give you the explanation, the revelation of that word as the Holy Spirit and the Word for that perspective. Mm-hmm. For an example, if you're teaching on Paul mm-hmm. and about his journey and about how he got, as you say, knocked off his horse mm-hmm. on the road to Damascus. Right, his high horse. You're going to define a word in that teaching that applies to Paul and his journey and what the impact of that getting knocked off his high horse did.
Right.
But then you can turn around and be talking about Mary when she was overshadowed mm-hmm. by the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and define that exact same word. Mm-hmm. But have it be so revealing of Mary's heart and what Mary experienced being faced with that.
Well, that's what the revelatory is for. I mean, it's going to take whatever your perspective is. You see, because we need to remember, He's working all things together. And God is outside the box. We're the ones in the box. We're the ones that are spaced in, right? So our understanding is limited, mm-hmm. but when we tap into the mind of Christ, as it is revealed by the Holy Spirit, He then can take any subject at any point in your life where you are, and I always say, it's in there. Whatever it is that you need, it's in the Scripture. You understand? No matter what you're going through, the answer is in there. Yes. There's nothing new under the sun. What has happened before will happen again. What is revealed in the new is hidden in the old, and vice versa. So you have to go in there and you have to dig it out. But if you will learn to read the scripture with the Holy Spirit assisting you, or ask questions, that's what prayer or meditation time is for. Like, what, Lord, why did Paul do that? Or, Lord, what does that mean? It's hard to kick against the pricks. If you go to a normal commentary, you may not get that definition given to you.
Yes.
Because your normal scholarly commentaries are usually based on all the same things that everybody wants to know, the basics. But to get into the revelatory, you've got to seek a higher source. Mm-hmm. And so that means you got to diligently study. Study to show yourselves approved. That means you have to be able to go beyond just your Bible. You need to get you an expository or a word study book or Hebrew, Greek. That's if you really want to know.
Right. Yeah.
But if you want to know about any subject, God can take that one word, appreciation, and it means I can teach 40, 50 different stories, backstories on appreciation, whether it's Lot not appreciating what Abraham had done when God called him, and so them striving and God saying you got to separate from him, you know, or Abraham's father not appreciating the fact that God had said for him to go on to this land he was going to show him, but he decided that he was going to stop in Haran, you know, because he didn't understand. So appreciation depends on
your perspective
you have.
I think that's an important word to understand, is perspective kind of goes with the revelatory. So as we look at the expository and the fact that we know it's revelatory, what I would like you to do is go on to our next point that you want to cover so that we can understand why they are important.
Well, it's important to understand that when you get into the revelatory, you sometimes run into a little hesitancy from those that are more schooled in seminarial types teaching. That are looking for exegesis only, and they call the revelatory eisegesis. And that may not mean a whole lot to you if you're not being schooled, but it does, because sometimes people will give you, I don't know, the scripture doesn't really say that, does it? You know, people don't understand revelation. So what is exegesis? Exegesis is the process of drawing out scriptural meaning according to the letter of the law. Okay? So it strictly depends upon what is originally written. You know, add to, don't add to, don't take away from the text, you know, and that's what people say, you can't do that. You know, it doesn't say that there. But what I have found in being a doctor of the word now is that you have to be careful when reading scripture, especially King James, because what the word means in Hebrew is not always the same as what the word means to us in English. And so we will take that and for instance, the word says that when Jesus delivered this particular person, he told him to go and publish the word. You know, go tell it, go tell what had happened rather than staying around there. And I have heard people say, and the Lord, that's when the first newspaper was, you know, because the Lord told him, go be a publisher. You know what I mean? He wrote his first book. No, that's not what it means. It means go testify, go tell about it. And so you need to be able to go in there and go beyond the exegesis to get to the eisegesis. And the eisegesis, okay, so wait, exegesis was scriptural meaning according to the letter of the law, strictly depending upon the original context and making sure everything is in accordance with historical and doctrinal context. See, doctrine plays a lot in there.
Yes.
As in exegesis. Eisegesis is what some readers and teachers and instructors are accused of using because it's unorthodox to scholars of Scripture, because it depends more on the spirit of the law. They say you're reading into it what your thoughts are, your understanding. No, I'm getting out of it the understanding that the Bible tells me in all my ways, get me an understanding, all my getting, get me an understanding. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for. And so the rhema falls into the eisegesis, the verbalizing of the word. And what people fail to realize is God is not dead. He's still alive. He still speaks. And Jesus said that that would be the work of the Holy Spirit. He, as the Spirit of truth, would come and reveal to us what we couldn't handle back then. He said, I got so much more to tell you, but you can't handle it right now. Ah, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will testify That's to right. you of me.
Yes.
He will show you what it is that you can't bear to hear right now. He will bring it forth to you as truth. And that truth, once you know it, it makes you free. You walk in the liberty that that truth brings. And that's what revelation is.
I think that, you know, for me, as a person that has never been schooled, mm-hmm. as you say,
mm-hmm.
when I heard the two definitions, I really was puzzled, to be honest with mm-hmm. you. But what the Lord did, and I just love how the Lord does this, he gave me an understanding that I could understand. And I believe that God uses the principle you explained about understanding the word in everything in life. And he gave it to me in this way. For those of you that may not be schooled like myself, is I'm a real process-driven person. That's a gift I have. I have a gift of process. So when I write a process or read a process, I look at every single dot, every single step, every single move in it. I follow it very precisely. A recipe, I'm following it very precisely.
Not me.
But once I became extremely familiar with process, then I was like, oh, now I understand why I need to do this before this. But you know what? I can do this, but I don't have to do all this to accomplish that. I began to realize that there was a greater understanding than the dot, dot, dot.
And you get that through application.
Absolutely. And for use.
Yes.
The more familiar we are with the word, the more willing the Holy Spirit is to entrust us.
Exactly. And
with
open it up to you.
The rhema.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, when I first got introduced to you.
Mm-hmm.
I was not one that really read the word, mm-hmm. because the word to me was words.
Mm-hmm.
It was words on a page. Every now and then, something would pop off the page to me, and I'd be like, oh,
that's
what that means. Or you'd hear something explained. Simple scriptures for me at that time was like, you must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
I got that. Why? Because I experienced it. It became real to me. Nobody could convince me after that that scripture right there didn't mean that. But when I got introduced to the revelatory and the difference between the letter of the law and the spirit mixed with that,
mm-hmm.
my understanding not only of the word but of God opened up and bloomed and blossomed. And that's why we need it. We mm-hmm. need it. But having said that,
mm-hmm.
I also have seen people abuse it.
Of course.
And take it and make it their own.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to take anything that belongs to God and make it your own, you're out of order right there, because it isn't yours. Okay. But I love the fact that as you write and as you teach, you always say, it isn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the Lord. It's about what does he want to say to you today?
And he will always give you the balance. The balance will always be in the scripture.
Yes.
No matter how far blown your theme is or your revelation seems to somebody, if it's truly from the Holy Spirit, you're going to found the foundation in the Word. He's going to be able, you know how I teach on different things and I take all kinds of characters,
right?
Old Testament characters, New Testament characters, and show it to you all the way through, right?
Yes.
Because it applies, it's revelation gives you life application. And all you're getting understanding. Why? For life application. Can I really live this?
Yes.
Yeah, that's where we want you to get to understand you can live this thing. It's real. God is a real God. He's an alive God, and he's busily being about those things that order our steps. He said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. I know the plans that I have towards you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Those thoughts are so powerful because those thoughts are geared to bring you to your expected end, not my expected
end.
Right. And that's the thing we need to understand. Scripture, even though it's there, you can't just take a black and white scale and try to make everybody fit into this thing, because that's not how it's intended to be. God will do for you what he won't do for me to bring us to the same place.
Right.
But he knows what it takes in your life to get you to be as it becometh you, not as it becometh me.
And I think that's part of what we need to understand too, is that we need to understand the difference.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But that also is why he uses you uniquely in the defining. Because that defining is an experience of those both. The right. Scripture.
Right.
The Spirit.
Yes.
And then bringing them together to make a life applicable understanding of a concept or a word.
Right.
Which is what we want you to talk about, is the apostle phrasing. But before you do that,
mm-hmm.
I want to share with you that are listening a little bit about what I've seen and what I've experienced. So you can just sit back for a minute. We're going to talk about you.
Oh, Lord.
And about what it's like to be able to understand a little bit about the transformation that took place in Dr. Akin's teaching and writing down through the years, and the changes that God took you through.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, today she is a doctor, Dr. Audrey Akins. Dr. Audrey Akins didn't wake up and just become Dr. Audrey Akins. Mm-hmm. It's been a process, just like us all. We all go through a process in God. But the amazing thing in the process is that what we can't miss is that when God changes us, it changes every part of us. When it's a God change, it changes how you think. It changes how you talk. It changes how you live. It changes how you love. It changes every part of us. I have been blessed to be walking with her for about 14 years in ministry. And in that time, I've seen a transformation that has made me understand that so much more than Dr. Akins even realizes, God took the heart of her desire, and this is key, people, the heart of her desire, and made it mixed with what he always did desire her to walk in. Her desire, and you'll hear her on different teachings say, I told him, I want to be the best. I want to be the best.
If I'm going to be
with you, I'm going to be the best.
Right.
Now, I'm here to tell you, I never made that claim, but I think it's a fabulous thing. And what he did in that moment of time, what we speak to God in those moments, he takes them, keeps them, and says, gotcha. Okay, I'll do that. But what it took was years
mm-hmm.
and years of study, dedication, heartbreak, people trying to destroy her. In all of that, God never let go of the fact that she said, I want to be your best. And that's how he used her life to make her one of his best. And in that best is the revelatory, defining, breaking down life application of the word. When she became an apostle and accepted that. Now, see, here's the thing, people. You have to understand, God didn't wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to make that lady down there an apostle. It was always part of God's plan for her. But he knows when to tell us. He knows what it's going to take. Just like you said, what it's going to take to bring us to that place of acceptance. And when she accepted the call of an apostle, she became a ferocious woman of the word. She was always a woman of the word. But it took on a dimension that was unchangeable. There was no going back. There was no going back to the standard, I'm going to put together a teaching and I'm going to present it. It became ferocious. When I say ferocious, there's an energy of God. There's a power of God that came with that, that made it that she gave up all choice, that she gave up all decision. There was no going back. There was a woman that used to say, you're divinely ruined. You get to that place in God where there is no deciding for you. The decision is made. The edges are cut. You're there. It's happened. That happened to you in your teaching when you became an apostle. And out of that came this apostle phrasing. Why? Because God could then entrust her in such a greater way. Because, see, he, from the foundation of the earth, created her to be this. But it took so much to get her there.
And to bring order to the house.
Exactly. And so, as an apostle, one of the things that we have to understand is that they have a job to do. It's not just a calling. They have a command from God to bring order, change people, and not accept compromise. Compromise is something that is so hard to fight every day of your life. But as an apostle, even when you read the apostles in the Word, they couldn't accept compromise. And the lack of being able to accept the smallest portion of compromise made it that he could entrust her to write using the concept of apostle phrasing. It's a life-changing concept and a yoke-breaking concept. So I wanted to share that because I've experienced it. I've watched it in other people's lives. And I wanted you to know before she told you how she defines it, I wanted to let you know how I've seen it in action. Share with us what you feel is a definition of apostle phrasing.
Well, apostle phrasing is what people would normally call paraphrasing. And what it is I take scripture that is espoused from King James, that is embraced, that I've embraced from King James Version, and usually the Amplified Version are the two versions that I usually stick to in my study. But what I do, in order to give clarity to the readers or the hearers of my teaching, and when I'm sharing scripture events or backstories, I like to tell stories. I like to use the backstory of a town or a place or an event or the different disciples or whatever. And I combine all of that, reaching into the Old Testament, reaching into the New Testament, and bringing them together in presenting it, and it's called apostle phrasing. I may say, we're going to be reading from Acts, the first chapter, going through the 16th verse, but I'm apostle phrasing, which means I'm also going to bring into that, for your understanding, what Luke might have said about the situation, what may have been hidden in Genesis about the situation, what may be revealed in Revelation about the situation, and just blend it together. I like to use the synoptics a lot, synoptic gospels a lot, because that way you get clarity and chronological order. That's the apostle in me. I like the order. I like to present it so you know when this happened, what else was happening at the same time. Because then you get a better idea. For instance, people in certain doctrines, in certain denominations will say, you know, Paul said a woman ought to be silent in the church and not speak. Well, why did he say that? What was going on that caused Paul to say that? You can't just make that be an edict for your denomination, and therefore you stop all women from speaking in the church. That's not what was meant. What was happening back then is in the synagogues, the wives would come to the synagogues with their husbands, and as they began to learn about Christ and it intrigued them, they weren't hearing this at home, they would begin to speak up and ask questions. And so Paul was, and they would interrupt Paul's teaching, and that's why he said you need to learn from your husband at home, you know, because you're interrupting what's going on. So you have to find out the contextual and the historical before you can build a truth about something. Paul is the one that tells us there is no male and female in Christ Jesus. There's no Jew and there's no Gentile. You know, so it's not about women shouldn't be in ministry or women shouldn't speak. It's about you needed to have order. He was an apostle. Not an apostle because he walked with Jesus in the natural when he was here, but he was an apostle because the Lord snatched him up and made him his apostle to be able to teach and speak to those that normally would not hear the word, to bring them revelation. He was what I call a revelatory instructor. That's who Paul was. And when the Lord called me, I patterned myself after that. I said, God, well, I want to teach like you. I want to walk like you. I used to walk around all the time singing the song, Save Me, Lord, till I, you know what I mean? Till I walk like you, till I talk like you. You know, and that was, you're supposed to follow the examples that are set before you in Scripture. And instead of setting my eyes on a man in the natural, I set my eyes on those in the Scripture. Because I know that that's what God is going to stand for. That's what God is going to protect. His word, heaven and earth have passed away, but his word is going to remain forever. So if I pattern myself after what I find in the word, and I dig deep enough to find out, does this have life application for me? Yes. Can I really walk in this? Yeah. Oh, well, then they can walk in it too. And so instead of saying, you ought to do this and you ought to do that, we. Mm-hmm. We. So that's what the apostle phrasing it is. It's bringing the we into everything. It's letting you see that this has application in every area of your life. So says this, so says that, so says this, presented here.
It's a powerful concept. It really is. It's a powerful way that you present the word. No matter whether you're seasoned in the word or young in your belief, it really gives you that place to be able to look at it and understand it. And that we all need that. I don't care whether you've been with God for 40
That's
years.
Right.
We all need to be able to have that. Well, we're going to close now because we've covered some important concepts. But before we do, I just want to encourage everybody. We're going to have an example of the expository up on the website in the near future. DrAudreyAikensMinistry.com is the website. I encourage you to get a sample, as the word says, taste and see, the expository. Use it as it was meant to be used. It's a place for you to get understanding of a concept applicable to that teaching. But you'll see more of them coming forth. So for today, I want to thank you. Do you have any ending comments that you would like to make, Dr. Aikens?
My thing is, the word is so good, and God is good. And the word says that the Lord is seeking those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. But that worship him, that will, you know, seek him, it means to seek him, to love him, to teach him, not teach him, to let him teach us, to open us up to spirit and the truth. To love him in all parts of it, even that which we can't see. Because the thing is, words that eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, hasn't even entered to our imaginations, what God has for us, what he's got prepared, ready, waiting, laid up, set aside, just waiting for us to knock on the door and say, God, show me who you are. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I count everything I've done in my life before is done. Why? All for the excellency of knowing him, I'm pressing towards knowing the Lord, not just knowing him because you said something about him, but know him intimately, know him for myself. The only way for you to find him for yourself is through the word. This word will change everything in your life. You just have to trust the Lord to show you himself. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke. His yoke is his word. That burden, that responsibility, that onus that it is, it's all in there. But he said, take it on you. In other words, he personalizes it. That yoke is not fit for me or you or you. It's fit for that person that's coming saying, God, show me who you are. And then he said, take it and learn of me. Learn of me. That's all we've got to do. And whatever you want to know about the Lord, it's in there. God bless you.
Amen. Well, thank you all for joining us today, and we just look forward to having you come back to our next Fireside Chat.
Well, this concludes today's edition of Fireside Chats. For more information or to contact us, log on to www.fireborninspirations.com. Or follow us at Fireborn Inspirations on Instagram. Until next time, be encouraged and inspired to keep pressing your way through the fires of life with a greater understanding and with purpose. This segment has been produced by Creative Impact LLC with all rights reserved.